Can I say a few words before we start? Kang San, it's so nice to meet you. Your name is so beautiful to me. Kang means river. San means mountain in Korean. So you carry Jesus' grace like river, but you stay strong like rock, mountain, like Jesus. So beautiful name.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your humble servant, Kang San, to our church. Especially, we did not invite him, but he came with a reason. Maybe for us to hear spiritual awakening message from Kang San. Therefore, we strongly ask Holy Spirit to anoint his lips with your grace, with your power, Lord. We lift up BMS to you, Lord. Pour your spirit upon him so that he can have your strength, your authority, your power, your discernment, so that he can hear your voice very clearly every day. So that he can follow your guidance as always for your kingdom work on earth, maybe for heaven as well, Lord. As William Carey said, we expect the great work from God, and we attempt great work for God. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Simon, and thank you, Chung, for your kind prayers. And thank you, although I invited myself, that you've given me this wonderful opportunity to come and worship and just be part of your church for this Sunday. As I think one of the purposes when I came now to serve with BMS for over 6 years, and part of the vision is not only to look into the world, but also to reconnect with the Baptist churches in these countries. So as Simon said, every year I go to 15, 20 churches and just visiting, but also to get a sense of what God is doing in your midst. Firstly, to say thank you for those of you who have been maybe faithful supporters of BMS. You have been praying for us, or you have been a church partner, support some of our mission workers. It is my personal joy and privilege to come and say thank you, and also to the church for your prayers. As you know, BMS was started 230 years ago, so we are an old mission. And yet, we are still here today because God continues to do new things through his church. Many organizations may have closed, but we want to continue to follow God in this new context. I brought just a few leaflets towards the end if you'd like to know more about BMS. This is an impact report. We work in over 30 countries. We are committed to work in countries where there's no church, less than 1% Christians. Secondly, we are committed to work among the poorest nations in our world today. So every 5 years, BMS will look at the global poverty index in our world based on the United Nations studies, and we try to look at 10 out of 20 poorest countries in the world. So today we work in places like Chad, Sudan, Uganda, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, many poor countries, sub-Saharan Africa, Tunisia, North Africa, many of the African countries, in many Asian countries, Buddhist, Muslim countries, where there are less than 1% Christians. And we have a third new strategy looking at people on the move. What God is doing in bringing global migrations, both refugees, migrants everywhere. Your church, you know, in London is so multi-ethnic. And what is God doing today? So we seek to follow refugees from Muslim countries such as Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan coming to Europe, and we help European churches to welcome migrants. So these are the three main areas: least evangelized, most marginalized, and people on the move. Today we want to look at God's word and find what would it mean for all of us, not just for missionaries. All of us are disciples of Jesus. Would it mean to follow Jesus in mission today? So let's see if I can manage the slide here. Do I point to... Okay. Need your special part. Yeah, okay, this one.
Sorry, just getting a little bit of feedback.
Yeah. Okay, we won't have time to look at every line, but just to say that in this slide, we are saying when Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew wrote the gospel of Jesus, they are writing about their eyewitnesses' account. They are interpreting the life of Jesus from these four perspectives. In the past, if you study the Bible, they try to harmonize it, and Christians get worried because each account, there are some differences in perspectives. Only now we realize, actually, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, they look at their lives with Jesus from a particular perspective. And for Mark, he has a particular intention of reflecting on his discipleship journey with Jesus during his earthly life. And he used what we call a journey motif. So when he wrote this story, like good novelist, he has a plan, and he organized this idea based on the theme of the way. And here Mark is saying that, I will read from Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, where it says that in the beginning, Mark chapter 1, this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, that I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the way of Jesus. A voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight ways for him. Now, if you're an English teacher, you find three times this emphasis. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight ways for him. Mark is, right from the introduction of the Gospel of Mark, is saying, this story is about the way of Jesus. And the way that we all, in every generation, are to participate in this following in Jesus' way. And he organizes. Mark has this 16 chapters. First 8 chapters is about Jesus in Galilee. And if you go back and read the Gospel of Mark, you find the first part, the first half, is about Jesus with large crowds. Jesus in place of popularities and receptivity. And then the second part of Mark, from chapter 9 to 16, Mark is organizing as Jesus is going on his way and the disciples are joining in Jesus' way. The second part is about, not about Galilee, but Jesus moving towards Jerusalem. And as Jesus journeys towards Jerusalem, he will face greater persecution, greater opposition, not receptivity, but opposition. And this is the challenge sometimes Mark is trying to share with us today. And maybe if you pause, some of you have been Christians for many years. Some of you maybe have been a Christian in school. You try to be a disciple. You may face challenges. Some of you, as I can see, could be migrants from another country what is Jesus' plan and purposes? And each of us, whether young or old or new, we all participate in Jesus' way. The second slide, let's see, is about discipleship. Who is a disciple? And then Mark is trying to say, in the gospel, we fail him. And this is the two key lessons we want to learn. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Mark defines for us a simple definition of who is a disciple in verse 17. He says that, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or in some version says, come follow me and be fishers of men and women. These are two very simple definitions. You know, sometimes we say, who is a Christian? Who is a committed disciple? We have all kinds of regulations, things that people we expect on others. But Jesus has a very simple. Mark, in understanding Jesus' words, say, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, one commentator says that this is not just us picking up, you find that consistently the early disciples have this simple understanding of being a follower of Jesus. Be with him and then walk with him on this journey. So Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 repeats the same simple understanding of being a disciple. Chapter 3, verse 14, here when Jesus appointed the 12, Mark says that they might be with him, firstly, to be with him, and secondly, that he might send them out to preach. Not just preaching, to have authority, drive out demons, be his disciples. So I want to encourage us. God doesn't expect us more than what we could do. Sometimes we as a church have lots of requirements of being disciples. But sometimes we too define what a true disciple is. So a disciple is not just because we are Christians. A disciple is that we might be with Jesus, have a living relationship with him, and that whatever he sends us to do. Now, some may be called to be a missionary in other countries. But most of us, God calls us just to be with him and to be faithful wherever he sends us. Some of us send us to school, to our workplaces, to our neighborhoods, our family and friends, whenever they are in need. So I hope we can be encouraged as well as challenged. To be a disciple today is to be with Jesus, and that wherever he sends us, we follow in the way of Jesus. And for Mark, the next slide, is to help us see that for their testimony, the early disciples misunderstood Jesus. We don't have time to look at all the incidences, but it's just consistently. You know, if you are going to write a biography of Boris Johnson or Theresa May or President Clinton, we write or Churchill, you know, all these biographies is about defending their legacies, all the great things they have done. But Mark, when he's sharing his biographies, not about successes. He's just been honest. He said, we, the disciples, during Jesus' earthly ministries, we misunderstood what discipleship is. In fact, we failed to understand Jesus' ministry. In fact, as Jesus moves from Galilee towards Jerusalem, during the good times, it's easy to be disciples. But as we face greater opposition, the disciples fail to understand Jesus' parables and teachings. And Mark has 16 chapters and many stories about Mark saying, oh, we, the disciples, we who should know, we misunderstood Jesus. Or we refused to feed the 5,000. Or Mark says, you know, he put all these stories about their failures. We quarrel among ourselves, trying to see who is the greatest among the disciples. You know, and we send the little children away. So if you go back, you couldn't escape this. That Mark is trying to say, we are not telling you all the great things we have done, but we are reminded that we are feeble, frail servants of God, that we too have failed in our understanding of mission. Now, in contrast, Mark seeks to then not only say about their failures, in contrast to the disciples, it was the little people, those who are outsiders, who are non-Jews, they are the people that Mark says, Jesus often said, they have faith. God bless them, God. They have faith. We are the one who should understood, but it is the Jairus and the woman bleeding with blood. It is the Syrophoenician woman. It is blind Bartimaeus. It is the poor widows. And this is God's modus operandi. Whenever the church is comfortable within the four walls and fail to see the kingdom of God is at work outside the church, then we fail to understand to welcome the little people. And I want to encourage you because I do see diversities of age. I see young people. I see people from different nationalities. And we are all one body of Christ. It is the outsiders that Jesus says are part of the kingdom of God. But it's not easy. But within the history of BMS, within the history of the Baptist Church, there has been tremendous shift or changes. In the past, when William Carey has this vision to bring the gospel to the nations, during the height of BMS, we have 500 missionaries from Britain supported by all the Baptist churches. We share our resources. We're able to send missionaries, planted hundreds of churches in India, in Bangladesh, in Brazil, in Congo, all over the world. That's the height of the British mission. But today, we have declined. Instead, God has brought an increase of the African mission movements, of the Asian mission movement, Korean missions, Brazilian mission. So today we work together. So where BMS have shifted, you find when I came in our office, we have about 3 people who are non-white, non-British. Today, 20% of our UK staff or more, maybe 20, we have 23 nationalities just within the UK staff. We have 400 international workers. So the British workers, we don't have as many to send, but we partner with these Asian, African, Latin American churches. So we do work in a new way. So part of my vision is to encourage churches to say God is doing not only work outside, but he's also doing work within our midst. And part of that is for us then to be able to recognize that the future of the church cannot be monocultural. The future of the church cannot be from the West to the rest. The future of the church is when we do mission not only overseas, but the Jerusalem have come to us. You are doing mission here in your midst, in your neighborhood. If you go out, so-called, it's not a pejorative term, little people spiritually. You know, they may not know the faith. They may not know the gospel, but we welcome them. They may be of different color, different style, different food. We welcome them and we see that this mission is no longer just the BMS missionary doing work outside. You know, look at the lovely flags that's represented in this room. Our vision is that we are no longer of one race, not Chinese, not Brazilian, not British, not Africans, we are all together, representing the kingdom of God. So we encourage that God is doing new work. So the ending is of the story of Mark is that he says at the end, everyone deserted Jesus and fled. And at the end, Jesus was crucified. And Mark ended abruptly with this note of failure. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 8, some of you may have a Bible where there is a note in chapter 16, verse 8. And it says, a footnote in your Bible, it says that in the original manuscript, Mark ends with chapter 16, verse 8. It didn't have the story of the Great Commission. And it says there, trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And then you have a footnote there. So Mark ends his story with failures. But in God's sovereignty, we have this story of Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. Because in this section, it shows us the secret as to where during the earthly life the disciples failed Jesus, but when they encountered the resurrected Lord, the risen Lord, then they overcome their failure. So failures is not the end, where we face decline or sometimes personally we face challenges. The danger for us is to say that we have lost. The kingdom of God have declined. But actually the key to overcoming our failures is to put and cast our eyes on the risen Lord, where God transformed these doubtful and divided disciples, and they brought the gospel to the whole Roman Empire. So the church may have times of decline, but when the church recognizes our failures and we need God, our dependence upon Him, then we are encouraged to trust Him. So friends, today we have learned, firstly, that discipleship is simple, being with Jesus and walking with Him all the way. And it is not for me to tell you what is your discipleship. God has His plan and mission for you. Maybe just to pray, and that's your discipleship. Others have other things to do in God's mission. In your vision, you have a great commandment and a great commission. Let's all of us do our little bit, and then God will encourage us in our own discipleship journey. Let us pray. Father, we pray that your word will encourage us to walk in this discipleship journey, to be with Jesus and to follow him wherever he sends us. We also recognize, Lord, in our own lives, in our own churches, in the history of mission, sometimes we may have failed you. But failure is not the end. Failure is a new way for us to trust you, that your gospel is still true. You are still doing new work of mission. Pray for New Malden that we may be a missional church, a discipleship church, a church that welcomes others, the little people, the outsiders, so that together we can be a people of God that bless him and fulfill the kingdom of God. For we pray all this in Jesus' name.